listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 339 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good friend, good pal, Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm stunning and amazing.
Come closer to the microphone, don't
come
be shy.
Come closer.
Gather round. We're talking about ageing today, aren't we? Something that is happening to every single one of us right now, and there's nothing
except,
you can do.
Except for me. Well, I get younger every day. No, I'm like Peter Pan.
Benjamin Button over here, yeah. Yeah, so we'll talk about that shortly. Liveinthepresent.co.uk, all the show notes and links are there. It may even be getting a refresh in the new year, because Sean's getting a refresh as part of his ageing process.
Yeah. I'm going to reincarnate next year.
Yeah, because he's just hitting that age now where he's really getting into the stride of things, of life. And
whoever thought 27 would be the age?
Success beckons for him, finally. And yeah, I've only got to wait 30, 40 years.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Yeah, so check out the website, sign up for the mailing list, etc., etc. Lots of freebies and cool things going on there. What have you been up to, Sean?
Well, I've been doing this crazy thing where I stopped working for the NHS, thinking I'd have more time to do...
You're off the gravy train, you madman.
I thought I'd stop doing that, which would give me like 20, 25 hours a week to do stuff with. Little things I want to do for me... in terms of like the books and stuff like that, and at the moment it's like work expands to fill the available space, and yeah. So many people have said to me, we've heard that you've got time free, could you come and do this, and could you come
would
and do
you
that
mind.
You know,
I've had some Facebook messages coming in actually,
yeah.
As well, so yeah.
Yeah,
word's getting out, Sean's free,
yeah mm-hmm. It's crazy. So I'm kind of struggling with that a bit at the moment. I was trying to get down to just doing 35 hours a week work, so I could do other stuff as well, rather than my usual 60 hours a week. But it's hard to get below about 45 at the moment.
Uh-huh. Don't be like Sean, guys. So, don't practice what we preach, just, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't work too hard.
Just take it easy. Yeah. But it's that balance between the fulfilment of life and the fulfilment of work. And, you know, it's all those things that, you know, hopefully they balance together.
Hopefully they all kind of merge into one, yeah. And you have a healthy mix of...
Yeah, the thing is, it's one of those things about we're all going to die, and there's things that I want to do before I die, and I've got a big list of things to get done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be there at the age of 97, and the Grim Reaper's knocking on the door, and I'm saying, can you just sod off and come back in a couple of hours? I'm busy at the moment.
Just let me get this email out, would you, buddy?
Yeah.
Just let me sort my hydroponic farming system.
Yes, yeah, that's the next one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing then?
Yeah, busy as well. I might have to be off to Strasbourg to have a look around the European Parliament, so...
Do you think that you're going to end up being some kind of politician, do you think?
Do you think I am?
I think you could easily. I could see you either in Parliament or in the European Parliament or something like that.
Maybe in the European Parliament. Well, I'm going about five or six days after the election result, so it'll be a very interesting place to be around then, depending on how the result has gone. It'll either be a bit sombre for the Brits, or it'll be...
It's either going to be a celebration or a wake.
But no, I joined the Green Party seven months ago, to kind of give a bit of a kick up the backside locally for environmental stuff, and it's working pretty well. But yeah, as part of it, I was invited, or all local members that wanted to have a look around while we can were invited to. So yeah, a couple of weeks. In fact, 2 weeks today, I should be there, and the tour will be starting very shortly. So. Put some messages out, but like I say, I figured it could be the last chance to have a proper look around it, really.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how things go in the coming weeks, but that'll be exciting, and that's pretty cool. Pre-Christmas, I've got a lot going on at the moment, obviously with work and family, and little boys are getting excited about Father Christmas, and there's...
Yeah, I love all that, it's good.
There's elves hiding around the house and all that every morning, so it's cool. Should we talk about ageing?
Yeah.
So, My go-to place for inspiration now is TED.com. And there happened to be a talk there about ageing. Get the show notes up for me, would you, Sean? What are you doing, man?
So it's...
He's looking for books.
I was looking for...
Christmas presents for Ed.
No, there's a particular book I was looking for that I can't find.
Ah, OK.
Which is a...
So anyway, I can't remember the name of this TED Talk exactly because Sean's not letting me look at it, but I figured we should do a chat about ageing because, like I hinted at earlier on, we are all ageing little by little.
There you are. I know your memory's going with your age, so I've got it here for you.
Albert Laszlo...
Laszlo.
The real relationship between your age and your chance of success. So yeah, I mean that gets me thinking about a few things in terms of what aging is and what success is. But we're all getting older, this second by second, aren't we?
I guess that the process of dying starts the day that you're born.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. If you haven't seen The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, it's well worth a watch or a read as well. It's a very short little book or a long movie with Brad Pitt in. Pretty cool, pretty cool stuff. Yeah, exploring some interesting ideas. But how come some people deal with aging better than other people?
I think that it's interesting, obviously, working with people, especially at the end of life stuff. But some people seem to be genetically blessed.
Yeah.
And some people have problems from the get-go. Mm-hmm. If you're the kind of person who's basically you're not ill... you don't have pain. Mm. And I guess one of the things with everybody who ages is you get kind of the creaking and the aching that gets in there. But those people whose bodies still work, they're still mobile, they're functional, even in their 80s, 90s, whatever.
Yeah.
Those people are having a really good time. Now, part of that is because of the diet. Part of it is lifestyle. Part of it is going to be genetics. But so much of it, I reckon probably a good 70% of it is what's in your head. It's like what's going on in your mind, the whole kind of mindfulness stuff.
Yep.
I work with people in their 40s who are like old people. Mm-hmm. They've got old people's minds. Whereas Auntie V, who's now 92, is somebody who every day is up and at it. What are we going to do? Come on, let's go and do it. Yeah, and she's like a whippet. She's hard to keep up with when you're walking down the road with her because she's off.
That's a dream, isn't it, man?
She'll drop dead at some point, like we all do. But she'll do it with a smile on her face because she's having a good time.
Yeah, my grandma's pretty similar to that. My grandma turned 90 this summer. Yeah. And she's very active out. She's still driving, actually, which is... with no real issues, but her body is starting to let her down in the last few years, which she gets really frustrated by because she's always been so active. She's got loads of great grandchildren that she still does roll around on the floor with and get stuck in with, but she struggles to get back up now like she used to. For her, she's got this real frustration with her body starting to let her down, and her mind is pretty much all still there.
That's an interesting thing that I've got several people I'm working with at the moment who...
So to be trapped in your own body, man, imagine that.
But that's the thing, is that what is it when your body does something? You're used to just using it and abusing it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens when your body says, no, stop.
Yep.
Yeah, and that could be that one of your organs goes into failure or you have some kind of illness or you break something or whatever. But I've got a few people like that in the moment. There's one person quite close to us who, in their early 40s, has had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough,
Wow, yeah.
And the problem then is we feel like we're invincible, but then something goes wrong with your body and then you have fear. There's that realisation about this could stop working.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It happens to all of us, but people just don't get it. They don't kind of tune into it. They don't realise it.
Mm.
It's crazy.
It is, yeah. There's this massive industry now called the cosmetic industry, which is an interesting case study in, reversing or attempting to reverse the ageing process.
Yeah.
With varying degrees of success. So what do you make of... What's your routine in the morning to keep your skin looking so supple and young and youthful?
I look in the mirror and I go, I love you. That's the point I start from. And then I use a bit of face cream. I always try and keep the old skin supple. face and hand cream.
No microplastics in it, though, I hope.
No, none at all.
Yeah.
None at all.
I think they've been banned now.
If I use any face scrub, it's usually something like ground dookie beans or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, do they put like sand in some of them now? So it just gives you that kind of a bit of scrub.
Anything like that will work. If you need to exfoliate.
Because there is an article I'm going to link to in the show notes on the website, which talks about skincare secrets. And they're not all about trying to hawk and sell products to you. Some of them are, you know, if you're a smoker, stop smoking, right?
Yeah.
For many reasons, but one of which is your skin and your teeth and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not all about what you're putting on, but it's, you know, how much sun are you exposing yourselves to?
Yeah.
Especially in those summer months.
Yeah.
They can start to make you look a bit older, can't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, I look in the mirror now, and yeah, getting close up, I'm starting to see some lines and what have you.
But the thing is that those lines...
I have the kind of... One of my eyes is a little bit squiffy for some reason. This one is more closed than this one. I don't know why. It annoys me when I see a photo of myself. Like, what's going on with that eye, Ed?
You need to do one of my body language courses. which I should be running next year online. There you go.
Right.
The thing for me is that we're obsessed with the idea of youth. And to me, it's the same issue in all areas of life where we've substituted wisdom for knowledge.
Yeah.
And like, academic knowledge is nothing compared to wisdom of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one of the things is we keep trying to develop young bodies rather than accepting the wisdom of the older body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know what the effect is going to be of people shooting themselves full of botulinum.
Stuff's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Year in, year out, yeah.
Isn't there some mad stat about that, you know, a bucket full of that stuff could, like, wipe out the entire human race if used in a certain way?
Yeah, because it paralyses tissue. What happens is it paralyses your heart and your lungs, and it's like, then you, nothing works.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it goes in your system in the wrong way. And the protected bits that they inject, we assume are safe.
Yeah. We assume...
But we don't know what the long-term effects that's going to be.
Mm.
It's like the thing about everybody went to vaping rather than smoking because it's going to be so much healthier, and now we've got all the problems with vapes.
Things are starting to be learnt about that, aren't they?
Yeah, and we won't know about the cosmetic surgery stuff. We do know that when women have boob implants and they start leaking, those can be a real problem.
I won't bang on about this too much. I'm interested in our, like, the public realm and how we get around and how our public spaces are used and designed. And right, so there's this place in Waltham Forest. Well, there is a place called Waltham Forest, a suburb in London, where they introduced this new scheme of, like, traffic flow. And they shut off loads of residential streets to through traffic, and they put in a load of cycling infrastructure. There's a bit of a real case study called the Mini Holland, which a lot of areas, including, you know, I've highlighted it on Wirral, like how we need these things.
Yep.
And they calculated after, it's been 3, 4, 5 years now they've been running this thing and they're introducing more designs, but they've calculated that the loads of beneficial things have come back to the community. They've worked out that every citizen in this borough of Waltham Forest has, on average, had 7 months of life expectancy added to their lives.
Wow.
Through simple changes to the roads and improved air quality and just healthier places. So you know, you can whack the moisturiser on as well, but have a start to think about how your routine and how the place you live can impact your...
But that's like, I was reading a statistic that said something like every bacon sandwich that you eat takes 5 minutes off your life.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? It is... When you start looking at that, because of all the chemicals in the sausage and the bacon and that kind of stuff.
But then, you know, at the same time, you know, a person can live a full and active and amazing 60 years or a long, miserable, depressed
90 and
years.
That's the thing, is that
it's like, all the bacon butties, the difference, I guess.
if that's what floats your boat. Because I think, die happy. And whatever age you are, die happy.
Yeah.
If you start dying miserable, who wants to live that? That's no fun.
So what's your... We're not going to reveal your age because it's a state secret.
Yeah, when I'm 30, I will let you know.
But what's your personal relationship with age when you hit certain milestones and numbers? What are you going to do when you turn 30?
I don't believe in age in that sense. And that goes back to when I was doing my training. The monks that I was being trained by were all in their 86 up, and they were supple of body, supple of mind. And I realised when I was working with them that age is a state of mind for so many people.
Yeah.
You know, accepting genetics and stuff like that, but for most people, it's your mindset. If you think you're old, and one of the problems with the concept of retirement is I work with so many people that are in retirement and they're depressed because they've lost purpose in life. When you say to somebody, who are you, they tell you what they do, not who they are. And when you've got nothing to do, you're nobody, if that's the way you see the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the issue is, why do you get out of bed in the morning? It's okay for older people that retire and they've got grandkids to look after, so they've now got this new role. You know, what are you? I'm a working grandparent. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking about that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm daydreaming.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, because I'm approaching 40, so no, I'm 38 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so I've got a while, but 40, if you think about it, depending on various factors, touch wood, halfway-ish through me days, you know, give or take, assuming various things. But, so I was thinking, oh, that's cool, I'm only halfway through, but then I kind of got a bit down about it because I realised that the second 40 years are going to be different to the first 40 years in that I'm still very active and I'm fortunate that I can, you know, ride a bike every day and all that, and I'm planning on doing that forever. But things start to, your body starts to give you signals. So even like the second 40 years of my life, the last half of it between 60 and 80 potentially will be very different to like between 40 and 60.
But like
physically speaking,
but the flavour in what you're saying is that they're going to be worse.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they could actually be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So statistically, the biggest area of split-ups in relationships is in the over-60s. People start new relationships.
Wow.
Yeah? One in five people that are alive in Britain at the moment will live to over 100.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Biggest area of business start-ups. 20% of all start-ups are over 55, but 10% of new business start-ups are over 65.
Wow.
Yeah? So, like, those concepts of retirement. If we're going to be living into our 90s... Yeah, 60 to 90 is quite a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could be doing something productive with that. Not in terms of work as in, oh, my God, I've still got to go to work, but doing something that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key when you're doing a startup, is you have to do something that fulfills you. So then you're not going to work. You're enjoying being alive, meeting people, you've got purpose, and you're making money as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And giving a bit back to planet Earth.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah, so that leads me nicely onto a couple of articles that I'll link to about successful people that found success later in life. Now, I will caveat this with, like, success can be various things, can't it? So the article is all about finding wealth, basically, like economic wealth or, like, fame. So a lot of them in this are really interesting. So Samuel L. Jackson, he's been around the movies forever, right?
Mm. But he hasn't.
No, he hasn't. So he was 43 when he got his first break in the film industry.
Yeah.
And I need to look into it now, I've just found that out. So what was he doing for the first 43 years? Was he acting at all? Was he, you know, performing in little theatres to an audience of 15 people?
Amateur dramatics on the weekend, yeah.
Or did he just kind of think at the age of, like, late 30s, hey man, I fancy giving this acting thing a go. And how did he get into that? Like, because that first few years of finding something that you really love and then working towards that success could be the most exciting bit, can't it?
Yeah.
Because it's full of probably stories of failure and, like, moments where you've been rejected because he was black, or maybe because he was, you know, not a young startup, you know, with six pack and all that stuff. Maybe he did have a six pack, I don't know. So there have been a lot of failure along the route there, weren't there? So I need to look into Samuel L. Jackson.
Again, concepts, failure. Is it failure or were those learning opportunities?
Yeah.
Yeah? You know, we don't have problems here, we have learning opportunities, then we're always growing.
Yeah.
Yeah? It's only when we grab those concepts of ending, failure, or failing.
Well, even then, yeah, you think about the word growth and as a physical term, and, you know, we stop growing when we hit 18-ish, 19, and then we start to get... I'm thinking in terms of the language we use. We start to go downhill from that age, don't we? You hit your peak when you're 19, 20, 21, you're in your prime, and then, oh, you're getting old, oh, I've got to get a job, oh, I'm tired, oh, I've got kids, I can't get to sleep, blah, 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 blah. But really, we're growing all the time, aren't we?
Yeah.
Right till the moment we...
And the thing is, you renew all the cells in your body every 7 years. Mm. It's up to you what cells you're reproducing.
What's the science behind that in terms of the cells that are reproducing? Are there any little hacks and tricks to make those cells strong and healthy?
There's a tail on the cell called a telomere. And each time things are reproduced, that tail gets shorter. So the concept is that if you had a cassette and you copied that cassette, then you copied the copy and copied the copy and copied the copy,
yep,
the quality would get less and less and less. Well, this is the telomere getting shorter.
So
there are things that can keep the telomeres quite long.
So I should have asked this before we came on air so I could research it, but what type of things?
Well, it's diet, certainly, but things like exercise and things like mindful meditation.
The same old suspects,
yeah,
man,
yeah,
drop on,
yeah, yeah,
in every episode we talk about.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, if you keep the telomeres long, when you reproduce the cell, the quality of the cell that you reproduce is higher quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Telomeres? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
That idea, it's important that we do that, and we do attend to making sure that... from an attitude point of view, we always hear the story of someone who's been living on egg and bacon, chips, smoking and drinking their head off, and they're now 97. And everybody goes, oh, you know, they must be genetically... What about if they're actually really positive people and the positivity of their mind is affecting their immune system and their body and their reproduction?
Yeah, baby.
You know?
Now you're talking. I mean, it's funny, people that you see, that you meet for the first time, and then you find out their age for whatever reason, it can either be like a eureka moment or a what the heck moment, because there's people my age that I see, and I see myself as quite a sprightly 37-year-old.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But sometimes, you know, I'll see people that I went to school with, I haven't seen them for years, or I find out someone is the same age as me, and I'll be like, whoa. He looks really old. He looks like really grown up. And what is the difference? So how do you become an old person that looks young versus a young person that looks old?
I think part of it is happiness. Part of it is certainly diet, exercise, and things like hydration. You know, I notice that when I'm in Qatar, is that... Because you have to drink a lot of water, you see people that almost look like a dried prune, and it's because they need to hydrate their bodies.
Mm.
You know, and we don't drink enough. And when we don't drink the right stuff. We need to be drinking water.
Good old-fashioned water.
You know, and everybody criticises the water that comes out the tap. But drinking water out the tap is so much better for you than drinking a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. With all the funny chemicals and stuff inside it. As tasty as it is, I do love a glass of Coke every now and again.
Yeah.
Like I do like a bacon putty.
A nice Coke with a slice of lemon in it.
And a bacon putty.
Yeah. I've never had a slice of lemon and a bacon putty.
So some other people on that success list, which someone knew about, like the Ray Kroc. He's the McDonald's franchise guy who realised, took this. I don't know if you've seen the McDonald's movie, actually. Has he got any? Michael Keaton.
No.
It's a good one. Because it tells the story of Ray. I think he plays Ray Kroc, and how he found this McDonald's restaurant and kind of...
I know the story because of Gerber's book, the E-Myth.
Right, okay.
Book, yeah, because he talks a lot about how McDonald's became as successful as they did from a business point of view. That's a good thing.
Tells that story, you know, and it's not all... plain sailing, far from it. In fact, the guy, he saw this McDonald's restaurant and realised that they were onto something. The systems that they had in place for kind of the efficiency of serving, and most fast food restaurants before then were, you'd park your car and someone would come and serve you, and then they'd take the food out to you on rollerblades or roller skates, something like that, and it was a really inefficient way. It was a good way, but they ask people to get out of their cars and come and order the food from the restaurant. Imagine.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a good movie. And but he was 52, Ray Kroc, when he kind of first stumbled across this restaurant. Same with the Colonel Sanders, KFC.
Yeah.
He was 62 when he sold the franchise for that.
Right.
So, yeah. And loads of other ones, including Stan Lee, actually. So Stan Lee's the comic strip guy who Iron Man, Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
So he didn't write his first magazine comic until he was 39, I think. So he's older than me when he first came out with that. And he died not too long ago when he was 94, 95, you know, a massive movie franchise, man. Unbelievable success. But he also had a lot of tension along the way in terms of people screwing him over in business, maybe him screwing people over in business and all that. So
yeah.
And I guess, you know, we talk about it, the definition of success is it has been stolen a little bit by wealth and fame and all that. Because maybe Samuel L. Jackson was happier before all this stuff, you know? We should get him on the show and ask him.
Yeah, yeah. Are you happy? Because that's the thing, is that I've met so many people who have so much money who are so bloody miserable. Mm. You know, and that realisation that money doesn't make you happier. When you haven't got it, you think, if only I had money, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can assure you, you don't. It's like if you're... All money is a magnifying glass. If you're a positive person and you get loads of money, you're an even bigger positive person. If you're a negative person, you're a bigger negative person.
Yeah. I think about that. Because when people develop financial wealth, you take certain decisions in life, such as moving into a bigger house that's maybe less connected to your local community, so you kind of isolate yourself a little bit.
Yep.
So, even when financial success strikes me, I don't want to move house. I love where I live. You know, it's a proper cool little community.
Mm.
So I'll be this millionaire.
Well, one of the things I'm aware of,
former council estate,
is people that get a lot of money very often distrust other people around them because they think that they're only going to be their friend because they've got money.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, want their money or whatever is going on.
Yeah.
And that can be isolating in itself.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm. Anyway. Anything else on aging you want to mention?
I think it's in your head. You know, and I've known 10-year-old old women and 65-year-old girls.
Mm.
You know, it's like that for me. Yeah. Both men and women. But that whole idea about it, if you've got a young mind, and the young mind to me means lifelong learning, that if you accept the idea that you're always going to be learning, so the issue is when you wake up in the morning, what am I going to learn today? What am I going to do? You know, how am I going to engage with the world? And that's the magic about Auntie V, is she's awake and she's there and she's got eyes and ears everywhere and she's learning all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Haven't stopped. Yeah.
Have you got a resource?
I was trying to find it on there.
Before I sold you off, sorry.
It's the dummy's guide, but it's the dummy's guide to setting up a business. So, it's that idea about if you were going to do something later in life, retirement, whatever, you know, what would you do? How would you do it? There's that book, and there's The Attractor Factor by Joe Vitale, which is the one that makes you focus. It starts off with the idea about I could do absolutely anything, and then he asks you questions to get you to focus down onto what it is you really want to do, and that's where the powerful bit is. Yeah.
All those books, man. Yeah, I need to dig those out. And...
Mm.
I'll think about all that stuff. But I'll link to my TED talk as well.
Yep.
And Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Movie and or film. Book. All worth a good a look. Book worth a look. Okay, well done.
Yeah, keep smiling.
I'm going to get on my bike and ride to West Kirby now because it's a gorgeous day, isn't
it? It is. Sun is lovely.
A bit fresh, but I'll go around the long way around because it's.
Yep.
Why not? You know, life's short, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sean, have a good week.
And you, take care.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.